RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, fourth and final hour of the Pomp and Joe Show. Joe Starkey called in as John from Kennedy, but he'll be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Austin will be in the hot seat taking you through the day. In the meantime, we're talking about the winner-take-all scenario coming up at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday night, 8:20 on Sunday Night Football. And we bring in a man who has been really good about analyzing the Ravens throughout the season when we've had him on from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Mr. Rob Long. How are you, Rob? How's everything down there in BLAT?
Doing well right now, man. I got a chance to get into the playoffs, winner take all. Ravens versus Steelers, you couldn't have it better than this. I actually just stepped out of basketball practice to come. But before practice, all my girls were talking about this game coming up.
So what was the thought going into Green Bay, and what's the thought now? Did people think this was actually going to happen, the scenario? Because if you look at the metrics on it, it was like 88% Steelers were going to win this division without ever playing a meaningful game on Sunday.
Well, let me take you back to the very beginning. I can't speak for people. I'll speak for myself. I Ravens would beat Green Bay on Saturday at all. But when that happened, then I had a lot more confidence in this happening right here because, you know, I didn't know the Steelers were like 1-6 in the last seven in Cleveland, yeah. But I knew they hadn't been good recently, so I started getting a little more confidence. There was some anxiety, but once the Ravens won Saturday night, I felt a lot more confident. But to get back to your original question, I didn't think we would be here because I didn't think the Ravens would hold up with their end of the bargain.
Yeah, and especially without Lamar Jackson, although it turned out, as I said this to Austin Bechtold over here, and he'll get into this conversation with us, but I thought the best thing that could have happened that night was no Lamar Jackson. They had to do what they haven't been willing to do, and that's feed Derrick Henry consistently all season long. He's the difference maker. Although I do know when he fumbles, he seems to get his mind in different places, and the Steelers forced a fumble last year in that game, but they kind of made it simple on John Harbaugh. Just give him the ball and say, Patrick Ricard, just go lead the way, and we're going to beat you that way.
I agree, but why does it take getting Lamar out of the game to do your job?
Well, you tell me that. Why has it been the case?
I'll take you before we blame our offensive coordinator. We've been here before. We've been here multiple times with this team who forgets to run the football. And to me, I've said it to you before, the responsibility is at the top, and that's the head coach. Your head coach wears a headset. At some point, you got to say, we're not going to run Hall of Fame running back. And even before we had Derrick Henry, there were times his team forgot to run the football. Why? I have no clue. So I don't blame just the offensive coordinators. I think that the responsibility is at the top. Same thing with the defense. We've been talking for years, decades even. Why do we get soft on defense? Why do we play prevent defense? We've gone through multiple defensive coordinators, and we've asked the same questions. So when I'm going through multiple coordinators and I'm asking the same question, it means maybe the coordinators are going based on the policy and procedure manual. Maybe they're doing exactly how it's supposed to be done in this organization. You know, there's some Raven fans, honestly, and this sounds silly, but I got to say it, who don't want the Ravens to win this game on Sunday because they believe it'll be the end of John Harbaugh. I'm not gone that far. And at the same time, if you're going to make this move, a 9-8 season should not save him from this move being made. If you're going to make the move regardless of what the results are Sunday. However, there are some who are done with it and ready to move on.
Who do you think gives the Ravens a better chance to win, Rob? Snoop Huntley or Lamar? Lamar in his current condition he is right now.
Well, naturally, he's a current condition because he not medically cleared. So naturally, it'd be Huntley because, Lamar is not medically cleared. If Lamar Jackson is okay to play, he's a two-time MVP, and the year Josh Allen won it, some thought he should have won it that year. To me, it's not even a question.
But he's not going to be 100%. Lamar, but he's not going to be 100%. And that's my point.
No one's going to be 100%.
No, but he's...
No one's going to be 100%.
Apparently, he's not even 50-50 at this point. So if they force him to play, I think they'd be better off with Tyler Huntley.
If we're saying in Lamar's current state, no one should play because you're not medically cleared to play. But if Lamar's cleared to play, then I'll take Lamar Jackson. Put it this way. If my job was on the line, and I'm not saying Harbaugh's is, but if my job was on the line... You got a healthy Lamar, meaning he's cleared to play, and you decide to go with Huntley and you lose that game, your job might be on the line then.
Right. Sounds like a similar situation that's up here. The expectation level is so high because of what the Steelers were looking at, which is a game against Cleveland. When you watched that game, you said your expectations went up because you thought it would be difficult, but that's a Cleveland offense that just can't get out of its own way, and somehow they won that game. Did you really think that the Steelers would lose it, given a golden opportunity to wrap it up before this game ever became meaningful?
Honestly, going into that game, I thought the Browns had a better chance of beating the Steelers than the Ravens did of beating the Packers. Hmm. I wouldn't have put money on either one of those games, but just because of the history of Steelers in Cleveland, I thought maybe the Browns had a better chance of winning that football game. Once the Ravens won it, it just felt like it was one of those things that was just bound to happen. The NFL is crazy. I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists, but the NFL just has a way. Look at how many, not winner take all, but how many divisional championship games are next weekend. It's just the NFL just is the luckiest league in all of American sports. It just seemed to, once the Ravens won, I thought, yeah, we're going to have a winner take all matchup on Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people came to that same conclusion. Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore joining us. I want to get back to the first game of the year between the Steelers and Baltimore. The ending, Isaiah Likely, looked like a touchdown, and it was ruled an incompletion. What was your thought on that, and did the Ravens talk a lot about that after it was over?
Ravens did, the fans did, I did. What's a catch?
I agree. I thought it was a catch, too.
How do you make a football move in the end zone?
You don't?
How do you make a football move in the end zone? It's called the end zone. There's no moves to be made. 1-2, there's a catch. It's the end zone. It means that's the end. There's no other place to go. So what is a football move? I'm not catching it and looking to advance. That's it. That's over with. Why is it that when I cross the pylon and the ball gets knocked out of my hand, it's a touchdown? But if I put 2 feet in the end zone and the ball gets knocked out of my hand, it's not a catch. Any place else on the field, 2 feet down is a catch. On the sidelines, 2 feet down is a catch. So in the end zone, 2 feet down, ball knocked out of your hand, should be a catch.
I agree. I thought so as it played out. I thought they were going to lose that game.
Yeah, I thought the same exact thing, that was a catch. There was the controversial Aaron Rodgers catch on the deflected batted ball. I wanted to get back to the Henry situation, though, Rob. Like, why was it a couple weeks ago that he did not even play in the last 8 minutes or so, and they just depended on Keaton Mitchell to be the main guy? I don't understand why John Harbaugh, is it a coordinator issue? Is it a Harbaugh issue as to why they are so dependent on Keaton Mitchell in moments like that and not Henry, not counting last game?
I don't want to hear nothing about no coordinator. Your head coach has a headset on. Hey, dude, why is Derrick Henry not on the field? You can run whatever play you want as long as 22 is on the field. You're the head coach. Like we said, the end zone, you're the head coach. You are the boss. You know, I mean, things come through you. They basically said to us, it wasn't Henry's turn. What is this, flag football? What is this, Pop Warner football where everybody has to have a certain amount of snaps? It's not his turn. He was asked, well, who made that decision? Well, basically the players made that decision. I don't believe any of it. I don't believe any of it. And then Harbaugh says to us, we're only talking about 6 plays. Well, it was only 6 plays because you didn't have 22 on the field, and it probably could have been more than 6 plays because you would have gotten first downs. The first series of the game, the Ravens only ran 6 plays. You know what they did on play number 6? scored. So are we only talking about six plays? It's the most ridiculous thing ever. I'm telling you, man, you got me riled up. You know, I'm trying to be a good guy, but you got me riled up because I'm so tired of the answers. I want you to do me a favor. You can find us online. And my co-host, Jeremy Kahn, you guys have him on from time to time on your station. He pointed this out. Listen to John Harbaugh's post-game press conferences after a win, and then listen after a loss. After wins, oh, he wants to be thankful to the guy who made this all possible, the creator. He wants to be this. He wants to be that. And I'm all for that. I love that. But you don't hear that too much when he loses. When he loses, it's short answer, quick answers. Why are you guys asking that? When we ask those questions when they win, that's a good question. Okay, answer the question, man.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm really done with the act.
It sounds like similar situations because you hear a lot of that up here in Pittsburgh about the future of Mike Tomlin. But I want to get back to Henry. I've noticed when he fumbles in a game that he's not the same running back. It happened last year in Pittsburgh where, and I don't know if they stay away from him as a result. Does Harbaugh penalize him when that happens? Because to me, he's still a guy that you got to get out there 36 times. That may be excessive, but they needed it the other night. But why is it that, or does he just get psyched out of situations when he loses the football? I see a huge difference there when that happens, or am I just delirious?
I don't think you're delirious at all. I can't answer the question about being punished. I know in the past, John Harbaugh has punished running backs for fumbling the ball. I don't know if you do that to a guy who has an easy pass, in an express lane to Canton. I don't know if you do that to him, but I also noticed that too. Henry seems to be a different guy. I don't know whether it's a matter of him not being used to being that guy who fumbles and gets in his own head, but he does become kind of a different guy after he fumbles. And this year, he had some problems with the fumble a little more often than we're used to.
Have the Ravens fixed their defensive problems, Rob, especially the ones that were more so prevalent early on in the season?
No. No, they have not. No, fair they enough. Have not. The secondary is horrible. Let me ask you a question. How does Odafe Owe have zero sacks in Baltimore?
Yeah, he turns into a difference
maker. And then
he goes
to the Chargers. He has, 7, 8? The same dude.
Yep.
That's the same dude. So I don't know. They have not. Nate Wiggins looks like a shadow of himself, a shell of himself, and he's only in his, second year? Marlon Humphrey, I love Marlon Humphrey, but Marlon Humphrey doesn't look the same. They need to put Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton does not need to be at the line of scrimmage. You do not make Kyle Hamilton play in a role based on your deficiency. He's lanky. You're going to ruin this kid. Play him, back him off the line of scrimmage. No, so, no, they have not. They've been very fortunate, I think. They play some teams that probably can't exploit them, and they scored 41 points on Saturday. And I don't think Pittsburgh is a team that can really exploit them, especially without DK Metcalf. So, no, I don't think they fixed anything. I just think they've been really fortunate that they haven't faced teams that could really exploit them.
Rob, what was your position on the DK Metcalf situation in total, but also the fact that he got a 2-game suspension where we've seen other incidents similar, maybe not with a punch involved or a swipe or whatever you want to call that, but the NFL did not penalize different people who've been involved with fans, and yet this one results in 2. Who's to blame? And to me, it's strictly Metcalf for going over there. He shouldn't have even done it. What was your take down there when you saw it? And do you think that
that's my
punishment fits the crime?
That's my take. Him going over there is bad, bad optics. Because now you're telling fans that they're not safe from being approached by players. And fans are your customers. A 2-game suspension I thought was a little much. I expected it to be a 1-game suspension, and I'm floored that the suspension was upheld. I thought for sure this is just window dressing. They'll suspend him for 2. He'll peel, and they'll peel it back to 1 because there's no way they're going to make him miss week 18. I'm shocked that they upheld that 2-game suspension. The problem is this, and I'll say it. In my career, I've been called some things that I wouldn't repeat on radio, but there's never a reason to turn verbal into physical. There's never a reason.
Yeah.
If you decide you want to do that, then fine. You're going to suffer the consequences. There's no justification to turn verbal into physical. I don't care what's being said. If you feel that's the line, then fine. You go ahead and cross that line and you deal with the consequences. And I think that's what DK Metcalf did. Whatever was said to him, he considered that to be the line.
Right.
That guy crossed the line, and he decided to retaliate, but there's never a time where physical retaliation is justification for verbal.
Especially when you have so much to lose, not just your own money, but also your team and what they're trying to do, and you're the number one receiver. But I also think the NFL should have done more, too, knowing that this guy was brought up to them a year ahead of time, and they're back. But he should have just alerted someone to say, go over and get him out of here. He's been doing this for 2 years, and you have it on record that I've done that. So I think there are mistakes on both ends.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I wanted this also. There was a security guard over there.
Yeah, he didn't do much.
Like, he didn't respond at all when the fan was talking. So I wonder if the NFL asked him what was said, and they deemed it not to be as offensive as DK Metcalf thought it to be. Because I'm sure if it was offensive language, the NFL would have walked it back a little bit. So maybe the language wasn't as harsh at that time as Metcalf made it out to be. Maybe there was a buildup of some things that were said in the past. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, it's just odd to me that the security guard that was there never at any time physically or even looked in shock at anything that was said or done over in that area.
Well, and it seems different, too, than when Lamar had that altercation with the fan. I think that was in Buffalo because the fan kind of went at Lamar first. And
when at Lamar, and I believe D-Hop as well was over there. I think he reached at them, and that's different. And I'm not saying it because it's Ravens versus Steelers, because I told you I thought the 2-game suspension was too much on DK Metcalf. But I think the difference is if DK was walking by that fan and that fan reached at him and DK reacted to it, I think you'll probably have a different reaction by the NFL.
No, I agree with that. I think it's strictly because he went and took it upon himself, and no one knew the backstory here or whatever. It does not matter. You cannot put yourself in that position in the middle of a game, no less. And I can tell at the end of that that he wasn't the same player on the field. He had a couple of drops as a result. You can tell that guy had gotten into his head. So that affected that.
Well, did he get into his head, or did he realize that he screwed up?
One of the two.
Is it on you? I think DK Metcalf looks to me to be one of those guys, man, I screwed up. And maybe he can't get it back. I thought it was maybe you're right. But the first thing I thought was he knew he screwed up. And now it's in his head.
In a season as unpredictable as both have been for the Steelers and Ravens, what do you expect to happen in this one, Rob?
I honestly believe that this is one of those games that for one day the Ravens get it. Sweeps don't happen often in this series. And if ever there was a time when the Ravens maybe be glad that they lost to the Steelers, it's right now because sweeps don't happen too often in this series. I think the Ravens go up to Pittsburgh and win a very low-scoring game. I'm hoping for some snow. That'll only make it even more dramatic.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. I don't know about the snow, but we may get a little bit there. Anyway, hey, Rob, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. Thanks for taking some time away from basketball.
Always, guys.
But you're always the great guy to talk to down there. So thanks and Happy New Year to you.
Hey. Have a happy new year, guys. You guys are the best. Always love coming on with you.
All right, that's Rob Long, 105.7 The Fan, joining us down in Baltimore. So that's interesting, and he expects a low-scoring game. I don't know about that. I can expect some points in this game. Normally, we say it's going to be 6-3, 9-6, 13-10, that kind of stuff. You may see a little bit more offense in this game.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress, Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
They got a good defense, but yeah, we didn't execute very well in third downs. I didn't have a very good game. And didn't run the ball, early like we wanted to. And pretty bad on third down. I have full confidence we'll go home and win next week. Because we've done it all season. We've handled adversity well, and we had to play our best ball. Yeah, we did, other than today.
Aaron Rodgers, other than today, which was yesterday. And yeah, that's the biggest one. That's the takeaway that they needed to have for a 3-win Browns team that came in with nothing to play for other than spoiling their season, and that's what they did. It is currently 1:36. The time is brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. I look at this and say to myself, missed opportunity. Can they make up for it? We'll find out. The odds makers don't think so, as the Ravens have been installed as 3-point favorites. And we have one guy who's been very patient. Limits on the line here. Right, Darrell, he stayed on for a long time, and we're sorry we had so much other business to take care of, but man, nice to get to him on the air because he's shown a lot of patience for the program. Darrell, what's up?
Oh, no. Darrell, are you there?
Oh, all that build-up, and he can't. Oh,
well, it was very nice of you, Bob, to build it up that
build
way.
It up. All right. While we wait, perhaps we'll get that rectified. Let's talk about what happened around the league, and there were some very impactful games yesterday. There were games on Thursday, there were games on Saturday, but we're talking about Sunday. Not Saturday, we're talking about Sunday. We'll begin with the Bengals and the Cardinals because that was just one of those throwaway games. Who wanted to watch that? But the Bengals scored 37 points, and they seemed to have fun, and they got a big offensive lineman the ball, and he almost rumbled, dumbled, and stumbled to a touchdown.
The Bengals are very good when Joe Burrow is healthy, can play, and their defense plays against an offense as bad as Arizona. Who's their quarterback now? Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah.
Same guy that beat the Steelers with Cleveland a couple of years ago. Arizona, man. Kyler Murray is going to be gone, probably. They're going to move off of him.
A lot of people pick that team to win.
Joe picked them
game.
To win the division.
Yeah.
And they're the only team from that division that won't make the playoffs.
That's how the NFL is. Very unpredictable. Yeah, the Bengals. This is why what's happened to the Steelers, if they don't complete this mission on Sunday night, look back at this season with an ailing Lamar Jackson, a 1-5 start for the Ravens, and no Joe Burrow for 3 months, and they couldn't take advantage of it. That's not what you wanted to see. All right, the Saints and the Titans, another meaningless game, although if you're the Titans, do you feel pretty good about your team with Cam Ward now, a full season you saw him? Do you think they can build around him? And what about Tyler Shuck? Is he also the guy who will be their future guy? I don't know. I still haven't made a conclusion on that.
New Orleans has won 4 games in a row? Don't let the Saints get hot, Bob. The Saints are marching in. I can't believe that.
They're 6-10 still.
Yeah, but I mean, think about what they were. I thought they were going to get the number one pick and draft Fernando Mendoza. Now maybe Tyler Shuck could be a guy that they roll with for another year.
I think Mendoza's going to end up with the Raiders as the number one pick, right?
He probably will. They have 2 wins on the season. They've lost 10 in a row. On Tankathon, they like to highlight all the records with their winning streak and their losing streak, where they put the losing streaks in green. And the Raiders have the shiniest green, like it's a Christmas tree, losers of 10 games in a row.
Pete Carroll. People thought that, and that combination with Geno Smith, they're going to be good. They've been far from anything, and they're going to end up with the number one pick in the NFL draft coming up here in Pittsburgh.
The Giants botched it again. How about New York? The Giants are picking second, and the Jets are picking third. Yeah. Isn't it crazy what can happen
year after year?
Well, it's also funny what can happen in a cap system and with a floor system compared to baseball, where the Mets can just spend as much money as they want. Sure, they did miss the playoffs in the final day, but the Yankees can be the Yankees.
Yeah.
Where, sure, the Jets and Giants are also very poorly run organizations right now, but it just makes the structure so much fairer. When you look at markets like Washington, both New York teams aren't very good. Atlanta, right.
There
Miami,
is no, there
Dallas.
Is no big market. There's no. All, and there's no small market.
It's all about
the same
drafting,
market.
Development, right. Who's your coach,
decisions.
And the decisions that you make. It's not about the money you spend, because everybody can spend the same
and
amount of money.
This is why a team like Jacksonville, which had fewer than four wins, I think, or four wins total last year, they make a coaching change. Leon Cohen comes in. And they're 12-4 now. They won yesterday at Indianapolis. How about the Colts? They start 7-1. Here they are, 8-8 out of the playoffs with 44-year-old old man Rivers as your quarterback. Does he come back? Doubtful. What do they do? They still have Anthony Richardson there, and,
yeah,
and I don't know if they're going to waste him. But the Jags have been one of the best success stories of the year.
One funny thing about the Jags is I'm still looking at Tankathon. Remember when Jacksonville traded up to pick Travis Hunter, who is unfortunately hurting out for the year,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was like, wow, Cleveland is going to have like two top five picks next year. What is Jacksonville doing? The Jags pick right now would be like 28th in the NFL.
That's
going
Cleveland.
To Cleveland.
That's what they deserve.
So Cleveland will be picking at the back end of the NFL, trying to outsmart everyone, where the Browns pick right now is 6. But yeah, I would like to see Phillip Rivers come back for another year. It's not going to happen.
I don't want to watch that.
No, you don't want to watch it?
I don't want to watch it. He should. He may have done it for financial benefits that you get from the NFL with all those kids, but, man, I would have just continued to do what I was doing, which was being a stay-home dad or whatever, and then get to the Hall of Fame, because I think he had a pretty decent shot of making it this year. Now he's got to wait 5 more years.
I don't think he's the reason why they lost those games,
yeah,
though.
But he's not the guy who's going to deliver wins either.
No, he's not. Also, Bob, if the draft was today,
what are they?
Guess where the Steelers would be picking.
20.
Yes.
Again.
Again.
Buccaneers, Dolphins. Now, Tampa Bay, it's unbelievable what's happened to them. They started, and I thought Baker Mayfield, who was my pick for being the MVP of the league, started that way for sure. Now they've completely crumbled apart. They have all sorts of problems. They're 7-9, but they still have a chance. Dolphins beat them yesterday 20-17 with Quinn Ewers as their quarterback, and that leads to the question about Tua Tagovailoa. Is he back, or do they move away from him?
No, Tua should not be back. Like, you could give Quinn Ewers a chance if you want, but no, there's no reason why Tua, after benching him and making him the third-string quarterback, should be back in Miami next year. Buy him out, move on, make it like the Russell Wilson thing in Denver. Draft a quarterback. It's worked well for Denver. Maybe it can work for Miami.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay, they still have a shot here, but man, what an ugly division that's turned out to be, although Carolina is certainly somebody we'll talk about here shortly, but before that, Patriots go into New York, and it was 35-3 at halftime. They went 42-10. Interesting thing about them, you know, they're still in a position maybe they can get the number one seed, but they're 13-3. They're 8-0 away from Foxborough. At Foxborough, they have suffered 3 losses.
And that, I mean, it's a very odd thing, but it makes me think that they are vulnerable at home, where typically with Brady and that horn going off that was always so annoying in Foxborough every time you heard it on the broadcast. That like sound, yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about.
I do, but I mean that's kind of hard to explain how good they've been away from home, and now here they are, a team that could lose at home. The Steelers beat them there as well. All right,
if they get the 2 seed, and Buffalo goes to New England, I think the Bills will beat the Patriots.
You know, they could take out all their frustrations on losing their first division in like 6 years.
Yeah.
In that game, Panthers Seahawks. Panthers had high expectations at home against this team. Seahawks have aspirations for the number one seed. Seahawks win 27-10. And how about this? There have only been 5 quarterbacks that have posted 5 or back-to-back 13-plus win seasons, and now one of them is Sam Darnold. And he did it with 2 different teams. Yeah, we'll see what he does in the playoffs, where he didn't have success last year with Minnesota. The Seahawks have a chance to win the number one seed at home against San Francisco on Saturday night.
Yeah, and the other names on that list are, you know, Brady, of course, Peyton Manning. I think Elway might have been on it. Rodgers did it 3 years in a row.
Right.
And then it's good old Sam Darnold.
Hey, it was a good signing for them, for sure. They're going to get I don't think people thought Seattle would be 13-3 right now with a chance to get the number one seed. Panthers, on the other hand, still can win the division. They take on Tampa Bay. They're 8-8. If you had to pick one of those games, it's Saturday at 4:30. What do you take?
I'm taking Carolina. I like Bryce Young. He's not been good in big games. He just hasn't. but they did beat the Rams earlier this year.
They did. Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting.
I don't know what's going on with Tampa Bay, Bob.
Like, they can't run the ball all of a sudden. Their defense is not as good. They've had some injuries to offense, but still, they're capable of being. Baker Mayfield threw for almost 350 yards yesterday.
Yeah, they get McMillan back. Mike Evans is back. Godwin's playing,
right.
They have like Kate Otten.
Don't understand, but they have lost like 7 out of 8. I didn't see that coming. Giants did it again. They spoiled their chance to get a number one pick by beating the lowly Raiders.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
In a battle of two teams that were 2-13 and 2-13. So the Raiders are going to get that pick at this point. They lose 34-10 to Jackson Dart, Joe's guy.
You know how the NFL loves to put together games late in the season that are going to be so entertaining that you want to watch, like in prime time or the main window games at 4:25? Do you think the NFL schedule makers just make a game so that like the Giants and the Raiders play against each other just to find out who the number one pick is and it has some intrigue with it?
You know what? I don't. I think a lot of people thought the Raiders would be better than this. You know, I really do. I think people had picked them. I saw Nick Wright. There was a thing where he had the entire division upside down. He picked Kansas City to win it. They're in last place. He picked Denver to finish next to last. He finished the Raiders to win the
He picked the Raiders to win the division? No, he definitely had the Chiefs to win the division.
Chiefs win the division. Raiders second. Denver third.
Raiders second?
Yeah, he had something like that, but he was wrong on all four. But that's the thing about this league, as you said. It's pretty even in terms of how you do your business. It's about the execution of your decision-making and your development, and the Raiders have just completely tanked.
Did you see Max Crosby? They shut him down for the season due to injuries, and he posted a video like on his Instagram story of him shooting at his home basketball court.
With his little daughter, right? He's running around on a trampoline. He's doing everything they didn't want him to do because he was mad about that decision. So,
did you notice that he has advertisements at his home basketball court, too?
He has advertisements on his body, it looks like. His entire body's tattooed. He probably has some advertisements there, too.
What is he, Devontae Adams with the Taco Bell in his house?
I don't know. All right, Eagles-Bills, this was a very interesting game, and it came down to Eagles leading and, I thought, really shutting down the Bills 13-0 through three quarters. Bills score 12, and they go for two and a chance to win the game and get to 12-4. They miss fire, and it looked like Josh Allen had an open receiver in Khalil Shakir at the end of the end zone. He missed him.
He was open.
He was.
That was just a throw that Josh usually always makes, And he kind of went back to first year Josh Allen, where he was wildly inaccurate, not one of the best passers of the football in the NFL now. I was okay with the decision. It's always, you know, hindsight's always 20-20 in those moments, but like we saw a couple years ago, Steelers-Ravens, where Lamar overthrows Mark Andrews and they don't win. Same thing with Josh Allen with Shakir. A lot of it just comes down to execution. They were able to execute. They had all the momentum.
Right.
You could say that's why you go into overtime, but I think that going to win the game there and ending it after you were dominated by from three quarters until the fourth, I was fine with it.
I think you got to watch out for the Eagles. They have a kind of team makeup that they can win these games in the playoffs, and they may go back-to-back. Who knows? And the game of the night, maybe the game of the year, at least one of them, 49ers beat the Bears. It came down to the final play of the game where the Bears are knocking on the door. The only time a field goal was kicked in this game was when Chicago took the lead at 38-35. There were those who thought maybe they should just try for a touchdown at that point. They didn't. They took the lead, but San Francisco came right back and scored. Brock Purdy's been unbelievable, accounting for 10 touchdowns the last two games. Bears win, or Bears lose, I should say. 49ers win 42-38, setting up that number one showdown. I like the Bears, though. I think they could be a dangerous team in the playoffs.
Colston Loveland, who I gave some flack to for not being as good as Tyler Warren. Man, does he look good.
He's been terrific.
Man, yeah, he looks really good. And the hook and ladder play that they ran to Swift, and he almost scored, was fascinating in the final couple of seconds. What this game said to me, though, Bob, look at Shanahan and what he's doing with Purdy, and look at Ben Johnson and what he's doing with Caleb Williams. This game told me that the Steelers are continuing to be bypassed by the NFL because offensive coaches are running the game. Sure, you'll have your Vrabels, but for every Vrabel, he has a Josh McDaniels that has been able to develop Drake May. Look at Ben Johnson, look at McVay, look at Shanahan, look at LaFleur, look at what Ben Johnson's, all these offensive coaches,
yeah,
they are the main threats to go with Sean Payton to win the Super Bowl. And defensive coaches now, there's a lot of questions about Buffalo. Is Jim Harbaugh considered a defensive coach? I would think not. He played quarterback.
No, he's an
offensive coach.
I think both, but he's known for his defenses. Although they've been better of late, they're still not great.
You're better off with an offensive-minded coach.
And that's why, when it comes down to it, there are a lot of them out there. They just need opportunities, as we've seen this year with Liam Cohen and also Ben Johnson in Chicago. So we'll see what happens there. But, man, you can give a lot of credit to Kyle Shanahan and going through this season with a still opportunity to get a number one seed with all these injuries they have had. They've done a terrific job. And, the Bears, man, look out for them. They can do some damage in the playoffs. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch them. So it comes down to Sunday, Pittsburgh in Baltimore. You heard Rob Long say he expects low scoring. Most people would when these two get together. I just don't – first of all, if it is low scoring, who does it benefit, do you think?
Oh, man, that's a great question.
Because it would be field goal kickers then, I think, if we're going to go in that direction. And Boswell's missed two in a row or 2 weeks in a row, which is unusual for him.
I would say the Ravens – because they can control the clock and control the tempo with Derrick Henry, like they did a year ago late in the season against the Steelers when they dominated Pittsburgh in the two games in Baltimore.
But I will say this about the Steelers. They have put together, especially in the third quarter of the last several weeks, dominant third quarters with time of possession. When they get into that mode, they can do it too. So, it's still kind of – although the turnover thing, we talk about it all the time. It's one of the things people talk about. The Steelers lost yesterday, even though they won the turnover game.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't score after they got the turnover.
They were given an easy pick for Kyle Duggar. They were given a pick six for Jack Sawyer. He was never able to get in. What did they get? Did they get any points on that drive?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And then they get nothing on what should have been a pick six for Nick Herbig as he completely jumped the route and didn't even take his eyes off the ball. And
in his hands.
It was like a meme of the ball just going right through your hands, and the true definition of butterfingers.
No question about it. Well, that game is going to be interesting to watch on Sunday night. It'll be the last of the slate. In the meantime, I'll be back on Monday next. We'll talk about what happens and whether or not there's a postseason game, and if so, who it might be against, because right now there are four different options that could take place. If it's up to me, I would rather take on Jacksonville here if I had a choice.
So it's like Jacksonville, the Chargers, Houston,
although the Chargers' offensive line is such shambles right now.
Yeah.
Herbert's getting hit all the time.
Right. I'd rather play them. And I like Justin Herbert. I'd rather play them or Houston. Jacksonville right now is just a well-oiled machine. Oh, how about that Jacoby Myers fella that people that? Said the
and
Steelers should
a new
trade
contract,
for.
Right?
I went and watched the highlights last night of that Jacksonville game. It seemed like Jacoby Myers was catching the ball on almost every other play, it seemed like.
Incredible. Austin, thanks for your work today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
You'll be here tomorrow riding solo, so give him a call. Keep him some company here for the 4 hours. Joe will be back on Wednesday, and we'll see you again when the new year begins on Sunday after the Steelers and the Ravens do battle on Sunday night. In the meantime, the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by Southwest Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And, well, you got snow here. I don't know if I want to say thank you to the weather forecast, because now it looks like snow will be moving in. Winds are high, 15% chance of snow, high of 33, Frenchie Friqua, low of 23, Mike Wagner. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. The PM team is coming up next. And Happy New Year, everyone. Wish you the best in 2026, and it'll start, hopefully, with a win on Sunday night to get you off to a good mood. That's going to do it, as Andrew Filippone just wrecks my cardboard cutout and puts it in. Now he's kissing it. That's not good either. It's all caught on camera on the YouTube page. Have a good day, everyone. We'll see you later.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.